You're listening to the latest sermon from Our Saviour Lutheran Church in Fareham. For more information about Our Saviour Lutheran Church, visit our website at www.oslc.org.uk. oslc.org.uk. May God bless you richly through his word.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter.
Glory.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life."
This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. God the Father, you sent your Son to be the Saviour of the world. God the Son, you and the Father have sent the Spirit upon us. So, Holy Spirit, teach us to know the Father and the Son, and bring us to everlasting salvation. For your holy name's sake. Amen. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." This is Jesus' word to Nicodemus, to the world, to you and to me. Unless one is born again. There is, of course, here a pun, as some of you will remember, because to be born again also means to be born from above. Just like in English we say, we might take a piece from the top. It's also to be born from above, to be born again. Nicodemus hears again, Jesus means from above. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We are all born of the flesh, and therefore we also are destined to go the way of all flesh, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Because our flesh has been corrupted and infected by sin, and the wages of sin is death. If God were to judge us according to his righteous judgment and according to what is equitable, he could and would happily have left us into our fleshly condition, to live for a while and then to die and to waste away. But God could not happily do so because he created our flesh in his own image. For the sake of his glory and of his love, he would not leave our flesh to be in the condition of mere flesh, to be dust, to become dust, and ashes to be reduced to ashes. But rather, he pledged to restore that which he had created and which we had ruined. At the very beginning of creation, we are told that the Spirit of God was hovering above the waters, and once Spirit and water were in place, God spoke, "Let there be light." And by his speaking, he brought life and immortality to light in this creation. He created all things, and once all things were in place, he created man in his own image, to bear his image, to exercise dominion over all things, and to live under his blessing eternally. And so it is also that to be born again, to be born from above, is once more to be born of water and the Spirit, so that we might enter the kingdom of God, so that God might be our ruler once more, that he might exercise dominion over us, so that we might find our proper place in his world, in his kingdom, in his creation. This is why in the fullness of time, God sent his Son in our flesh to bear in his flesh our sins to the tree of the cross. And at the very beginning of his ministry, and not very long before our reading this morning from John chapter 3, Jesus himself went where water and Spirit meet. He was baptized. He was baptized by John in the River Jordan, and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and the voice from heaven spoke, "Water, Spirit, Word. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And as we say in the baptismal liturgy, thus he sanctified waters to be a water of washing by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized into our condition by the baptism of repentance. But that was so that he might bring us a different kind of baptism, a different kind of washing. One where sins are removed and remitted, where they're pardoned and forgiven, so that flesh might once more be cleansed. In the time of prophet Elisha, Naaman, the general of the Syrian army, who was a leper, was commanded by the word of the prophet to wash in the River Jordan 7 times. And when he did, his uncleanness and his ill disease were removed, and his skin, we're told, became like that of a baby. That, together with the account of creation, teaches us to know what happens when we are baptized. We too are born from above, and we are born again. And whether we are baptized as little infants, or in our old age, or somewhere in between, we become infants in the kingdom of God. We are cleansed from all sin, and all the wounds and scars, all the warts and distortions that sin has brought upon us are removed, and we become before God like little infants, and he becomes our Father. Indeed, all these passages that are translated as being born again or born from above could also be translated as being begotten from above, being begotten again. Which is to say that in the moment when that happens, God becomes our Father. We are conceived by him into new life. And the seed that brings about this begetting is none other than the Word of God. The same word that created the heavens and the earth now gives new creation to each of us. And this all by the power of Christ's resurrection. Jesus in his flesh endured the entire history of humanity. He assumed our sin, and within his lifetime he obeyed God's law, but he nevertheless bore our sins in his body. And he brought the whole story from the fall and sin to death and judgment to his conclusion in his own flesh, so that your flesh might be redeemed by the Spirit of God. Once Jesus had died, there was no longer any need to die and to be punished for sin, because he had borne all that punishment. And when we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as Scripture testifies, we are baptized into his death and his resurrection. The very beginning of our Christian life is the very end of our lives as creatures of the flesh. One life ends and another begins. And when that new life begins, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me, as St. Paul testifies. This life that has been brought about as the Heavenly Father has begotten us and the Holy Church has given birth to us by water and the Spirit is none other than the life of Christ in me, life by the Spirit. On this festival of the Holy Trinity, there will be many a sermon being preached across Christendom that teaches what the Athanasian Creed taught to us, what it means to confess that there is one God in three persons. And there is a place for that kind of teaching. And perhaps another year, you will hear one such sermon too. But even though it is necessary to believe what we confess in the Athanasian Creed, and by the way, just as a little footnote, that doesn't mean that everybody must be able to reproduce the Athanasian Creed word for word or else you cannot be saved, or to be able to formulate accurately and precisely all these theological truths. Rather, when we say that it is necessary to believe these things and to think thus about the Trinity, is to say that we are not allowed to think about God in another way. We're not allowed to believe that there are three gods, or that God is only, that there is only one Lord, rather than there's only one person of the Trinity. Because if you believe in such a God, you believe in a false God. But as important and vital and crucial for our salvation as it is for us to believe rightly about who God is, it is equally necessary for us not only to thinking about him thus, but to have our life from him. And therefore we are rightly reminded each Sunday, but especially this Sunday, that God is not an object of theological inquiry to be looked at like some museum specimen in a glass case, or some chart on a wall to be memorized and learned. But rather, that as Paul says in the book of Acts, in him we live and move and have our being. Or, as he puts it in the letter to the Colossians, our lives are hidden with Christ in God. That when we believe in this God who's creator and redeemer and sanctifier, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do not simply believe things about him, but we confess truths about ourselves as objects of God's eternal love. God revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not only because he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but that we might know him as our Father, that we might know his Son as our brother, and that we might know that his Spirit is the Spirit who gives us life. If the only breath in you is your own, you are already dead, even while you breathe. But if the Spirit of God lives and breathes in you, then whether you breathe in and out or not is ultimately of secondary importance. Because the Spirit of God, if he gives you life, your life is an eternal life. And as we heard last Sunday, on the Sunday of Pentecost, God has given us his Spirit. When? When we were baptized, water and word came together to give us eternal life. And as Jesus himself said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And this believing, this faith that Jesus calls for, is a gift given by God himself by the preaching of his word, by the making of his promises. When we hear and heed and believe those promises, faith is given to us. And we have this thing that St. Peter, in his letter, tells us, that baptism, which corresponds to the flood that upheld the ark of Noah and his family and saved them, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you were baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which is to say that everything that God had made known about himself, his entire revelation of himself, all that can be known about him, he pledged to you so that you might have a good conscience, not with yourself chiefly, but before God. There's that famous phrase from Shakespeare, "The lady doth protest too much." Sometimes we try to give ourselves a good conscience by protesting our innocence. But very often we do that because we know somewhere deep down that we are not innocent. But there are times when we do think that we are innocent. We have a good conscience, but that's only because our conscience is so warped that we don't know what is good and right. We give ourselves a free pass when we certainly should not. Those of you who are history buffs will know of a very secret speech given by Heinrich Himmler, the head of the SS, in the early 1940s, to the leaders of the SS. And his speech was recorded, and an account of it has survived. And he simply says, speaking of the destruction or attempted destruction of the Jews of Europe, that this is work that we must now do in secret, but one day future generations will thank us. He was fully convinced that the work that they were doing was good. It was for the good of humanity. And though at the moment, before the world, they could not do with a good conscience, the world will thank them one day. They didn't think that they were the baddies. They thought they were the goodies. Now, I am fully confident that there is no one in this room whose conscience is quite as twisted as that. But all of our consciences are twisted because we are all self-serving creatures. But what matters is not whether we think ourselves good, whether we are at peace with ourselves. After all, that secret meeting was full of men who were at peace with themselves. What matters is whether we are at peace with whom he will judge the living and the dead, to whom we must give an account of our lives. He is the one who defines what is good and right. He is the one who decides who is deserving of eternal life and who is deserving of eternal fire. The Athanasian Creed again puts it, those who have done good will enter eternal life, and those who have done evil, eternal fire. And we might ask ourselves, well, which am I? Am I good enough for eternal life? Or must I endure eternal fire? And the bad news and the good news is that none of you is good enough. I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. Nobody out there is good enough. Not Mother Teresa. No one. Not even your granny. Only one was good enough. Jesus Christ, the righteous. But his goodness was not for his benefit, it was for your benefit. And when you were baptized into Christ, he removed not dirt from your body by the application of water alone, but removed all dirt and uncleanness of sin by the application of his promise by the power of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is not just plain water, but it is water setting God's command
and joined to God's word, and that word says whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, so that you might have a good conscience. God himself pledged for you a good conscience by removing all evil that stood against you, all the record of debt that stood against you, so that you might stand before God on that last day, on judgment day, and now, with boldness and confidence, as one who can confidently say, I am as good as Jesus, not in myself, but because he has made me so. Daily we sin. Daily we follow the devices and desires of our own sinful flesh. And daily the Spirit brings us the promises of God in Jesus Christ to restore to us a good conscience. Unless you're born from above, born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But if you are born again, if the Father has begotten you by water and his Spirit, you shall enter the kingdom of God because you have already entered it. This kingdom of God is not some patch of land, but it is rather the living rule and reign of God. And where if God reigns in your life by his word, so that living in daily repentance and faith, you live under his authority. His authority to call you his father. His authority to determine what is good for you and to give you his gifts, and you receive them faithfully. But also his authority in declaring what is true and good so that you pursue his will in your life in obedience to his commandments. You are already in his kingdom. The world does not see this any more than the world sees the wind blowing. But we see the effects of the wind. We see waves, the waves of the sea or the branches of the trees waving, and we hear the sound of the wind. And so we know that it is there. We feel it on our skins. And so also Jesus promises is the case with those who have been born of the Spirit. You cannot see light glowing out of our ears and eyes in the night or some such thing. And yet where the Spirit of God is at work, the Holy Spirit, the eternal Spirit of the eternal God, dwelling in our hearts, he cannot be without effect. And he brings it about that he transforms us from one degree of glory to another according to his good and gracious will by his doing, as we place ourselves in the way of this wind from God. That is to say, as we place ourselves under his word, regularly, frequently, hearing it, studying it, meditating upon it, and heeding it, in faith and in obedience. Jesus Christ was baptized because he shared in our condition. We are now baptized in his name so that we might share his condition. Or, as Jesus puts it very succinctly, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. He entered into our humility for a time in order to put an end to our humiliation under the rule of Satan and sin, in order that we might enter into his glory and leave behind this humiliation. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This salvation is delivered to us in holy baptism, and it is sustained for us by the preaching of the gospel, by the daily repentance from our sins. And we are strengthened and emboldened in this faith as we are united in flesh with the flesh of him who loved me and gave himself up for me, Jesus Christ, who comes to us in his body and blood, so that we might be strengthened in the truth of our salvation. This, dear friends, is our life in the reality of a world that was created by and is indwelt by God, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the creator of the world, your creator, the redeemer of the world, your redeemer. the sanctifier of the world, your sanctifier, so that you might be holy as he is holy, now here in this mortal life, and then on the from the last day unto all eternity, as we enter into his glory, into his kingdom, never to die. May God grant this to us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.